Hello, welcome to the Lying Media Bastards radio show.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living room. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
I just feel like saying, don't be such a fool, you fool. Better dry your eyes, get to realize you gain nothing by that. Well, that's no way to keep his heart warm, baby, when his love grows cool. What's the use of sighing? What's the use of crying? If he's giving you the sack, 'cause if your kisses won't hold. If he's wandered off the track, 'cause if your kisses won't hold the man you love, then your tears won't bring him back. Now listen, if sweet sugar kissing isn't gonna make him come home, then tell me how do you hope to keep him to you with tears instead of song? Just be a normal fella. Come on, say what the hell. Should worry. That's what God made sailors for. Don't cry for him and chase him. Just go out and replace him with some good looking Tom, Dick, or Jack. 'Cause if you're
Hey there, ladies, gentlemen. This is Jake, Lime Media Bastards Radio Show. Why is this mic? There we go. I'll crank up the mic volume. That just there was Calavera, ska band, or not ska, the... there is a band called Scalavera. Calavera, rockabilly band out of Los Angeles. Saw them a number of years back. Thought they were good and fun, and like to play them on occasion. Sadly, they're one of those bands who are really great live, but then you get the recording, and the recording just makes them sound adequate, which is sad. Before that, we had Camera Obscura doing Comeback Margaret. Started that off with Rasputina. If your kisses won't hold the man you love, then your tears won't bring him back. I've told the story before on the show. I heard that song, that Rasputina, that's from their live album. Very fine album. And I heard the song, that's kind of mean. This woman, or her fella is stepping out on her, cheating on her, and you sing the song saying, well, crying about it's not going to help, and if you're crying, it's just going to drive him away, and obviously you're not kissing him good enough to want to stay. I thought, that's cold. That's a cold song. And then I listen to the lyrics more, and it actually later on in the song says, ladies, if he's cheating on you, now's your chance, go cheat on him. And there's a great line, that's what God made sailors for. But, yeah, so I'm Jake, Lime Media Bastards Show. Today is International Women's Day, so I'll be playing more songs from female performers today. I've actually been preparing. This weekend, some of the Radioactive DJs are going to be DJing at the Rubber Rose, the erotic boutique and art gallery, this Saturday at Ray at Night. They're having the, I forget the name of it exactly, the Clothesline Project. There's this empowering yet horrifying art project called the Clothesline Project, or something like that. I'll have to look it up momentarily. But it's basically these... women who've been sexually assaulted, sexually abused, create these T-shirts. Take regular T-shirts and do some sort of art on them to sort of describe their experiences, to vent, to something. You know, something to display to others what they might have gone through, or make them feel a bit of closure for what the awful things that have happened to them. And they hang them up on clotheslines. I saw them several years in a row at UCLA. One of those things that reminds you the world's a terrible place. But so there will be, I believe, this clothesline project will be displayed at the Rubber Rose. So we've been asked to play female-friendly music at the event. So I've been looking for a lot of female performers on my in my music collection, and it's very sad what a small percentage of my collection it is. Maybe 20%. And, yeah. So I take some blame for that. I need to seek out more female artists. But, because the music industry makes it very easy to find male artists, and makes it very easy to find female artists who are just about looking good on posters for teenage boys to hang up in their rooms and arouse themselves to. But much harder to find quality female artists with something to say, sadly. So we talk about the International Women's Day. I believe it's also the day of the Global Women's Strike, the day that all women are supposed to be. If you're working today, you shouldn't be working, ladies. Well, up to you, of course. But no, it is an attempt. It's been going on for several years now. It is this attempt to sort of, by going on strike, show the people of the world how much work women are responsible for, much of it unpaid. And, yeah, you want more information, globalwomenstrike.com or .org. I forget. And, also, Blog Against Sexism Day. All of these things, obviously, sort of a feminist slant to it all. All these events going on at the same time. If you have a blog, then write something today about how sexism is wrong and bad. And let me find the website. There, it should be pretty amazing today, honestly. There's one website that's trying to gather together all of the blogs that will be written, all the entries and articles about, that are being posted for this blog against sexism. Let's see. The website is takingplace.org/blogagainstsexismday, with a dash between blog and against, between against and sexism, and after day. Or no, before day. blog-against-sexism-day. And I'm looking at it now, and wow. Looks like there is it. I'm bad at estimating. Maybe 150 blogs there that are participating this year. I'll be writing something later and putting it up. I'm sure a lot of other folks will be too, so be some valuable stuff there. Oh, and it's globalwomenstrike.net is the website I was trying to mention earlier. And while we're on this theme, there was a reading of the Vagina Monologues, I believe, recently. I'm sorry, I'm trying to tell you things while typing things to find more information for those things. And, but no, it was, I believe, a high school performance of the Vagina Monologues, and they were told by their administration, do not say the word vagina. It's sort of like, what? You're going to do the... do the Vagina Monologues. So you can't mention the vagina, which is actually the biological name of the body part. It's not even like you're using some sort of vulgar slang. You're using the word vagina. And, let's see. So the story is, John Jay High School, and the girls were told, do not say the word vagina. And the girls decided to go against what their administration was telling them, said the word anyway, and got in trouble for it. The line was, my short skirt is a liberation flag for the women's army. I declare these streets, any streets, my vagina's country. So I don't know what they were told to say instead of that. Perhaps hoo-ha. But I'm glad those girls stood up and said what they wanted. I saw in one blog comment section somebody was saying they were trying to make a point. They were saying, gosh, I just hope they didn't use the word tibia for that leg bone. That would be filthy and disgusting if they were to say something with the word tibia in it. Oh, God. And I thought that was, amusing. Let's see, also on the show, I'll talk a little bit about Scooter. Scooter the Man Libby, the former Dick Cheney aide who is going to jail. Well, maybe. He was convicted of crimes by a jury, but he has money, and the president likes him, and perhaps he will not end up going to jail. Talk a little bit about the movie The Take, which I've been watching. Good stuff. All sorts of stuff, really. But and with another line of feminism, I've seen some very good analysis lately talking about the authoritarianism of what we call the conservative movement in the United States. They're not conservative anymore. They're just many of them are authoritarians who, out of feelings of shame, weakness, whatever, they want to be a part of something big and powerful, and therefore they will obey anybody who promises them these positive feelings of strength and worth and belonging to something powerful. And how part of this conservative movement is, it's really about making conservative, so-called conservative figures look strong and powerful, and about making liberal, Democrat, green opposition characters of any kind, making them look weak and feminine. And that's really kind of the sum total of conservative discourse these days. So, among a certain percentage of it, obviously some conservatives will still be talking about the social contract and there should be no government. And while these more mainstream so-called conservatives are like, we must kill all of the liberals and rape them. And they're all gay. So, often on the show, I'm making hand gestures and faces while I'm speaking, and you all don't see that. While I was doing that angry conservative voice, I was shaking my fist without thinking about it. So, yeah. But next up song, this one was sent to me by a listener. Kind of hard to tell the official info on this one. Because it looks like it is not a song in English. Well, I'm being stupid. The file name looked like it had not been written originally in English. There was a lot of weird little characters and quotation marks and things. Song is in English, but the name of the song, and the reason I know the song's in English, the song is called George Bush is an Islamic Fundamentalist. And let me see if I can figure out from the songs, from the file title, the name of the band. The, looks like the name of the band might be Rub. Or Chords. It's hard for me to tell from this way it came out. Anyway, but it's a song. It's a humorous song about George W. Bush not being a Christian American patriot, but about him being secretly a militant Islamic fundamentalist here to destroy us all. So, here's that. No, wait, I gotta turn something here. Hold on. Okay. Okay. So that was a total failure. So I'm gonna play a different song on a different device. And, here we go.
Place your boys above and make
And here we are, after some techno magic, here is the song, George Bush is a Islamic Fundamentalist.
This is for all the folk. For all the simple folk. For all the good old down home folk.
All right. Straight out of London town.
This is for you folk.
Here's an interesting bit of conspiracy theory for you.
George Bush is an Islamic fundamentalist, obviously. Trained by Al-Qaeda in the heart of Texas to fight for the faithful army. He's now in the process of uniting the rest of the world against the good old US of A. The land of the free will come crashing down if he has his way.
It's the only explanation of Bushy boys and Islamic fundamentalist. Quarters of the way through his plan already and no one's even noticed. There must be a damn fine Al-Qaeda training camp they got down there in Texas.
Yeah.
Getting him to pretend he's as thick as pig shit was a stroke of pure bloody genius.
Yeah, George Bush is an Islamic fundamentalist, obviously. Trained by Al-Qaeda in the heart of Texas to fight for the faithful army. He's now in the process of uniting the rest of the world against the good old USA. The land of the free will come crashing down if he has his way.
Trust me. He's presided over and has been directly involved with one of the worst financial disasters of a generation. Every movie he makes seems to be directly against the interests of his nation. Haven't you noticed? He's used the media to increase the social insulation of an already fairly blind population since the McCarthy days. And now he's declared war on Islam just to increase the consternation. As far as I can see, there's only one explanation. George
Bush is an Islamic fundamentalist, obviously.
Interesting conspiracy theories, cause no one knows what the fuck's going on. We're all looking for explanations. The most interesting one I heard the other day was that the West was controlled by genuine democracies that actually represent the will of their populations. Only the one about the aliens, the Antichrist, and the Freemasons is more laughable. Ha 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 ha. I think my theory is much more plausible. Let me tell you about it. It goes like this. George Bush is an Islamic fundamentalist, obviously. It really is the only explanation I can see. For his truly anti-American foreign policy. Now at this point I would ask you all to sing along with the chorus normally, if it wasn't for the fact that there are cameras on the premises and the CIA might be requisitioning the tapes at any time. So I recommend that under all circumstances, catchy though this number is, you do not sing along. You do not even smile. I recommend the most you do is tap your feet. But you do that at your own risk. George Bush is an Islamic fundamentalist, obviously. Trained by Al-Qaeda in the heart of Texas to fight for the faithful army. George Bush is an Islamic fundamentalist, obviously. George Bush is an Islamic fundamentalist, obviously.
An Islamic fundamentalist, George Bush is an Islamic fundamentalist, 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 mentalist, mentalist, fundamental. George.
woke up this morning, smiled at the rising sun. Three little birds that by my doorstep, singing a sweet song, a melody pure and true. Saying, this is my message to you. Saying, don't worry about a thing, 'cause every little thing is gonna be alright. Sing and don't worry about a thing, 'cause every little thing is gonna be alright. Woke up this morning,
woke up this morning,
smiled at the rising sun.
Thank you.
Hey there, ladies, gentlemen, ladies. That was Candy Pants doing a song called Dishy for Dishy Boy. Basically a bunch of puns, sort of looking at a young, attractive man as various types of food. For that, we had Cobra Killer and Kapajkos doing what was it? Heavy Rotation, one of the few songs I actually play by them. Actually, it's Cobra Killer is the band. That was a song they did originally, and they redid it with a mandolin-based orchestra called Kapajkos. So there you go. For that, Elizabeth Mitchell doing a song called Three Little Birds. It actually sounded like it was three people. It sounded like it was Elizabeth Mitchell and perhaps her husband and child. So it was a little trio singing. It was kind of cute. For that, Rub, I think was the band name. George Bush is an Islamic fundamentalist. Actually, let me see if I can find information on a song with that title. George Bush is an Islamic fundamentalist. A band called The Rub. Yes. I still don't know anything about the song. And then we started that off because I was having some technical difficulties. We did Nouvelle Vague doing Marianne, the Sisters of Mercy cover. So some of the news, it just keeps going and going and going this week. Scooter Lewis, whatever. He was the chief of staff, the head honcho, the top aide to, Vice President Dick Cheney. Some months back he was, indicted for multiple counts of, lying to the FBI, lying to a grand jury, obstructing justice, being a big jerk, and smelling funny. And I think they found him innocent of the smelling funny charge, but most of the rest of them stuck. This is all, of course, in relation to the leaked information of the secret identity of Captain America. No, of Valerie Plame, a CIA agent. And her name was leaked. Little debate on this one. Most folks think that it was revenge. They think that it was the Bush-Cheney administration getting revenge on her husband, who had been saying things which made their Iraq war look very stupid and silly. Personally, I feel that it was... and maybe I haven't read the enough of the information. I don't think it was revenge. I think that it was basically they were trying to discredit Joseph Wilson, the man who married Valerie Plame. And in the process, her name got put out there. I don't think they cared that they had outed the CIA agent, but I don't think it was revenge. I think it was... I think they were just trying to make his information, make his opinion, make his dissent disappear. Because he had said that... he said, you guys in the State of the Union said that Iraq was buying this uranium from Niger. But I just went down to Niger, and I talked to some people, and I did some research, and that information you have is bogus. Niger did not sell anybody any, and did not sell Iraq any uranium. So what they did was they said, he went down there on this trip, but he got sent down there by his wife. His wife, wife works for the CIA, and she just, like, hooked him up. So they tried to act as though this was nepotism, as though he wasn't really an expert, wasn't really qualified to make that decision, to make that analysis. The only reason he'd gone down there is because his wife had pulled some strings to get him a job, to get him the trip. That's what I think the goal was of this leak. But it went further when they realize, oh gosh, I guess she's a CIA agent, and now we've violated security laws about secret agents. And apparently there wasn't enough good evidence to actually charge Scooter Libby with these breaches of security. There was only enough to get him on obstruction of justice sort of stuff. And that's a high episode win. We're all pretty sure that Karl Rove and Dick Cheney were involved with this as well. I mean, Cheney's top aide starts doing all this stuff without telling Dick Cheney, without Dick Cheney asking him to. That seems unlikely. But, I mean, it's a big, complicated, messy sort of trial and rhetoric and whatever. But what it comes down to is that the Bush administration, the Bush-Cheney administration, decided, hey, we want to invade Iraq, kill hundreds of thousands of people, and take their oil. And the American people don't want us to, so we're going to have to make up a bunch of bullshit to make them think that it's that they'll be in danger if we don't invade Iraq. So they start making up all these lies so that they can go and kill hundreds of thousands of people and take their oil. And some roadblocks get in the way. One of them being this Joseph Wilson saying, dude, they don't have uranium. They didn't buy any uranium from Africa like you're saying. I was just there. So they tried to smear him. And, or depending on your point of view, they tried to smear him or tried to punish him for coming out and saying that. And then when they got caught, they started lying about it. So, basically this case is about the lies, about the smears. No, basically. It's about this whole mass murder war thing they wanted to do. And theft, steal the oil, control the region, kill a lot of people. And there were lies and propaganda that tried to get us there. And then they tried to smear some people who tried to counter those lies. And then when they got caught smearing, they lied about it. So that top tier of lies, lying about the smears, one guy has been caught. And I do like that the jurors are all saying, dude, why was he the only guy? You know, where's Karl Rove? Where's Cheney? They were in on this, we can tell. So, there's that fun. Let's see what else I got for you. Let's see. Oh, the fun little story. I wrote a big, long rant about this, but the Associated Press... I didn't mention this last week, did I? Pardon me. I'm going to say not. Associated Press, one of the biggest wire services in the world. They wrote an article a week or two ago saying, informing us that a couple weeks before that, they had decided not to cover any stories regarding Paris Hilton for a whole week. And they were not going to cover her. And, you know, unless something big happened, if there was a big story involving her, then they'd cover it. But if there wasn't, man, they weren't going to cover her. And, of course, nobody noticed, because hard to notice the absence of something. She would have had to have been a major story about Paris Hilton and notice, huh, why isn't the AP covering this? But the AP, the Associated Press, they put out a press release where it leaked a memo or something about how they weren't. This was an experiment. They weren't going to cover her for a week and I guess report the real news or something. And then... So nobody noticed that they wouldn't have noticed that memo hadn't gotten leaked and sent all over the internet. And then they wrote this article about, you know, oh, we made this big thing and we got a lot of positive praise for it, and that was kind of it. That's kind of all they gave you. And I was very amused that a Fox News anchor tried to claim that if you thought that the media should be covering other types of stories, you're a snob! You're a snobby person. But because the people want to hear about Ann Nicole Smith's corpse and John Gibson of Fox News, he will tell you the stories that you want to hear, because that's the sort of guy he is. He's down home and he's one of those folksy old white millionaires with his own TV show. He's not like one of these stuck up Anderson Cooper white millionaires with his own television show. I think John Gibson might have a radio show too. He also wrote that book about the war on Christmas, where, you know, all those elves were killed. Horrible story. But yeah, I wrote a fun rant on that about how... wrote about the thin line between entertainment and war. And I'll leave it at that. Also, fun little story. 2006 statistics have come out by the movie industry. Now, granted, all of these statistics could be made up. We wouldn't know. But I think they'd get caught. I think there's enough people who invest, enough investors who want the straight truth out of this industry, they would independently research it and crucify somebody if they lied. But, of course, the movie industry always, you know, whining, bitching, you know, cursing, telling us with horror about all the money they're losing because of movie pirates. And, of course, ironically, the top-selling movie in the box office of last year, Pirates of the Caribbean. So they can't come out too hard on the pirates. Oh! Where's my rim shot? I'm sorry, I won't do that again. So they made 5.5% more money in 2006 than they did in 2005. They made about $9.5 billion. The ticket sales, numbers of tickets sold, actually increased this year, first time in the past 3 years, because movies have sucked lately. And that's why people haven't been buying movie tickets. The prices of movie tickets up 2.2%. The international box office sales up 14%. But they did they made more movies than they did in 2005. They spent more money to make each movie, and they spent more money advertising each movie. So I think revenue-wise, I think they came out ahead, but they also spent more. So, but in the long run, I think they came out ahead. But apparently, 2005, the movie industry was claiming that they were losing $18 billion a year due to piracy. Now, if in this in 2005, I believe the statistics said that they made $9 billion even instead of 9.5, which would mean that they were claiming that they were losing twice the amount they actually made every year, which kind of didn't make sense. And it's just funny because the statistic they gave is they claim that they estimated the total number of pirated copies of their movies out on the streets and the number of illegal movie downloads. And of course, there's no way to estimate this. Nobody has any clue how much of this is going on. You know, you could go to a city and count up every bootleg seller of DVDs that you can find on a street corner, and it doesn't mean there's not a guy, you know, two streets over or selling them out of the back of a van or his house or whatever. Since there is no way of telling, we don't know that they even made any attempt. They could have just said, let's say that there was 3 trillion illegal videos sold last year. And they don't have to tell us how they came to that number or anything. So they're taking that total number and they're claiming that every single movie download and every single bootleg copy that is bought, basically they're claiming that if the person hadn't got the bootleg, they would have paid a full price to see it in the theater or buy the DVD, and that's why they lost $18 billion. That's, of course, just ridiculous because, you know, if you've ever bought a bootleg movie, sometimes it's like, oh, I don't know if I want this movie, but, well, it's only $5. I'll pay the $5. But if it was a guy sitting on a street corner selling you a $20 movie, you'd say, I don't want that. Or maybe there's a movie out that, that movie looks terrible, I don't want to see it. Oh, I can download it for free, oh, all right, I'll watch. So it's ridiculous to act as though every bootleg and download would have been a purchase, because it wouldn't have. The name of that is price discrimination, actually. It's an economic term, meaning that that's how they justify coupons and discounts and whatnot. They say, okay, there's a natural price, the perfect price where we get the maximum number of get the maximum amount of income, you know, right here, and we draw our little supply demand graph, and at this price, you know, price X, there's such a certain amount of demand and a certain amount of supply, and that's where we'll sell the most to make the most money. But that means there's a lot of people who aren't willing to pay as much as the people who go in at point X. Price discrimination gives several different levels of pricing to people so that you try to capture more and more of the cheaper people, or the people who don't want to spend that money. And you say, okay, this movie is $20. And you get people who will run out there and spend their $20. And you say, well, in a month from now, we're going to have this coupon. The price of the movie is going to be $15. So you get more people, oh, okay, well, I wouldn't pay $20, but I'd pay $15. And you get folks who, it's available for rental now. You can rent the movie for $3. Well, hey, I'll pay $3. And bootleggers are the ones who are saying, you know, hey, get the movie for $5. I'll pay $5. I wouldn't pay $20. And then the downloaders, the people saying, I wouldn't pay a fucking thing for this movie. and they get it for free. So, I don't even know that, like, basic capitalist economics supports their idea. Yeah. So, I'm going to play now. I think I'm going to play. Okay. There's a band called Portishead. If you're old like me, ancient and old, fossilized, you remember a band called Portishead. They were a sort of the start of the electronica trip-hop fad that came in the 90s. They really did play this amazing melodic downbeat trip-hop, which was very emotional, and the singer had this very great voice. They broke up sometime after that, and apparently they keep flirting with reuniting, and I have found a YouTube video of them performing a song just like 2 weeks ago in the UK, in Bristol, in February. And I thought I would play that for y'all. It's probably not the greatest sound quality, so I'm going to start playing it, and if it's terrible, if the sound quality is really that bad, then I'll probably fade it out and apologize. But let's give it a shot. I'm going to be Portishead doing, oh hell, which song is it? Wandering Road? Wandering Star? Crap, I can't remember. It's Portishead, though. So I'm going to kick that on now. And thank you all for listening. And more stuff later.
always doubled up inside.
Extra stop in Jamaica.
Yes, Miss Superstar, that's right. You heard right.
The career of your dreams awaits for you in your very own imaginary Tomorrowland. Just look at all you've won.
The brand new Cool Keith album.
Oh my gosh, is this all for me? I feel like singing.
Golden keys, catch all the trees, rain and man, it's all for me. One hand up the name to see why they all like that with me. I must be the king, say, super oompa doopa. I put my deep in three super duper. Ten washing machines, 10 jeans on auction for me. 10 pizza washing for me. Come and spend another shiller. Listen, I get in my top liver. Give me a kiss, I'm a magic princess. Wonder Woman, shoot you out my wrist. This is foot, I'm feeling sexy. In my ass, I'm a bad dragon. Look at the lawyer, palm of his ass. Being here, all my black friends can get taxi. All my records on black. I take it back, ain't no bill for where I'm at. Take a second, I grab that door, wreck it. Take out my magic record. Get a massage, 10 cup garage. Living my balls, don't wait. There's no more calls. 60 F and kicks. There's chicks in charge. Pick, 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 free of charge. Neck and neck, deck and deck. Equal tech. Best to tech. Nothing, ain't nothing more to protect. No smack, no more attacks. Me now, selling my fucking bags. No ice, just whack. No crack, just swipe. Green looking like. No wolves or mice, just cookies and kites. Coffee, soap, and some fries. Everyone lives life how they like. Everyone lives life how they like. Everyone lives life how they like. Everyone lives their life how they like. This is it, it's dynamite. This is it, it's dynamite. This is it, it's dynamite. This is it, it's dynamite.
We'll be right back. coolin', speed the slang now, boy say what? One girl say what? What? London coolin', speed the slang now, boy say what? One girl say what? What? Slam, galang, 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 shotgun, get down, 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 too late, you down, 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 down.
Hey folks, this is the Lying Media Bastard Show. That just there was the Vandals, who I like very much. I honestly thought they were breaking up, but I got in touch with them a while ago. They have a MySpace page, and I wrote to them and said, "Hey, you guys are great. Do you have any like CDs I could buy or something?" And he said, "Yeah, we've got this demo and EP thing that we've been selling at our shows." I'm all, "Great, can I buy one from you? Or could you, like, I'll send you some money and you can email me the MP3s," and I never heard from them again. But I just went to their MySpace page, and it looks like they're doing well. They're playing at South by Southwest coming up, which I think is this weekend even, and maybe next weekend. And they're going to be playing on the local radio station. They got picked as CMJ, the College Music Journal. They got... I'm going to try to get these guys' albums. I don't know. I'm talking to myself now. But, no, I'm glad they're doing all right. Good luck, Vandals. Before that, we had MIA doing Glang. Smush doing a rock song. Smush, I'm not quite sure how old they are now, but I saw them perform when I think there was a... I think one of them was 16 and the other one was 14, or 14 and 12, or something crazy like that. Two really young girls that... The music does sound a little young, but it sure as hell sounds better than, you know, an awful lot of grown-up rock. For that, Johnny Magnet doing Feminist Rhetoric. Oh, wait, there was a long name for it. Feminist Rhetoric Falling on Deaf Ears. But that is a defunct band that was fronted by Twisty Faster, who is the blogger who runs the site I Blame the Patriarchy, the rather angry and wittily written feminist blog. For that, Ladytron doing International Dateline, the Pipettes doing Pole Shapes, Princess Superstar doing Super Fantasy. I should see if she has any new albums out. That's a pretty old track. Bikini Kill doing Rebel Girl, and we started it off with that new live performance by Portishead, Wandering Star. I mentioned a little earlier that I was going to me, DJ Lotus, Mariposa, and Los Family Conrad, DJ Aluya, and Maria will all be DJing on Saturday at the Rubber Rose in San Diego. It's on the Ray Street in North Park. You can go to their MySpace page, myspace.com/therubberrose, all one word. But I got more information on that clothesline project that they'll be displaying. The clothesline project, founded in 1990 to address the issue of violence against women, a visual representation of the cycle of domestic violence and sexual assault created by those directly affected. The clothesline itself is a vehicle and a testimony to the strength of the survivors. Opening reception with DJs from RadioActiveRadio.org, Saturday, March 10th, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. And the show will be up from March 10th through April 6th. So if you can't make it on Saturday night, and please do, if you can't, then you can come by at a later date. And again, you can go to their MySpace page for that info. Probably more information about the clothesline project. But something I was thinking about with regards to the Rubber Rose, they do a lot of great stuff. I mean, like I said, it's an erotic boutique, so they sell, you know, lingerie and sex toys and videos, and, you know, it's tasteful. You know, the whole theme, it's based on, I believe, the Rubber Rose Ranch that was a part of the famous book, Even Cowgirls Get the Blues. And there is a bit of a bordello. Old school bordello feel to the place. Says Jake, not ever having been to a 1920s bordello. I'm making shit up. But yeah, so they have, you know, they have the shop and they have the art gallery side. No, and that's a very great thing, you know, displaying local artists, political artists, etc. When we DJ'd there a few months back, it was art of transgendered folks, you know, displaying their feelings and experiences and whatnot. And on top of that, but they're always having workshops, presentations, open mic poetry. It's on their website, very small, but I'll read some of it off for this. What's just stuff that happened this month? Siren, Women's Open Mic Poetry Night. They were a host for the San Diego Indie Music Festival. Goth Help Us chapter meeting. I believe that's actually sort of an odd organization of goths that like to do charity work. I never would have thought that would happen. Male nude yoga. Toys for boys and girls presentation. Ray at Night event that we're going to be at. Lesbian speed dating. I can't read some of this stuff. My eyes are bad or something. Kissing workshop. Reclaiming Our Lives fundraiser, which is raising money for... I believe that is some sort of organization that helps people who are victims of domestic violence. From Fucking to Feminism and Everything in Between, a monthly discussion group. And this month they're focusing on domestic violence. So they do a lot of great stuff there. I mean, and then last month they had some presenters who are from Germany who were protesting against the G8 and wanted to discuss issues regarding the G8. And borders, and whatnot. So, but here's what I've been thinking: is the issue of gentrification has come up when I saw it on this mailing list I'm on back with some folks back from Kill Radio when I was in Los Angeles, and they were talking about moving into a new space, and it just brought back this flood of memories from when I lived in Los Angeles. All of these different cool, activist-friendly, progressive, open spaces that were. People who actually wanted to do something about the community, build a community, which is enough of a struggle in Los Angeles, but, work together. Activists are always in need of spaces to meet and talk to each other and all that. And in Los Angeles, I watched those spaces vanish, many of them one by one, just living there over the course of, the course of 4 or 5 years I was there. You had the Midnight Special Bookstore, which was a... It was a pretty big bookstore with a focus on radical books. They had all sorts of speakers and films and presentations, and it was on the 3rd Street Promenade, which was this very like fancy pants shopping district in the already fancy pants Santa Monica region of Los Angeles. The rent got raised on them. They moved, and then after the move, they never got enough of their shoppers back, and it closed down. There was an activist-friendly vegan cafe, Cafe Luna Soul, that went under. A skate shop called Juvie. All their merchandise was on racks with wheels, and you could actually, after they officially closed the store for the night, they moved stuff out of the way, and they'd have concerts. They had a benefit show for Kill Radio up there. Arts in Action was a space where it was a lot of... education and teaching people how to make art for political purposes. That one went under. Trying to think of what else. Here's a place, I'm forgetting the name, Tia Lucha or something like that. There was a cultural center more in East Los Angeles, and that went under. And now I'm wondering to myself if Floricanto is still even open up there. It was an anarchist bookstore. Floricanto, are they still up? I'm clicking on their website to see. Come on, Floricanto. Okay, that's not the right website. Floricanto. No, Floricanto went under in September 2005. But here's what I'm getting at. If there's a local space, you're an activist, you're a progressive, political, progressive to radical-minded person, you want to keep these things around. If you don't support them, they won't. They won't stay around. That's something that's become... very vital to me, very, 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 very true. If you do not help out in some way, whether it be, making sure that you buy stuff from them, if they're a bookstore, or visiting them, going to some programs there, volunteering to help out, joining the organization, something, it's going to close down. You should help out. Other people should help out, Even if it's just, telling people, hey, I found this really cool coffee house. Y'all should check it out. Telling your friends something to keep those things around. If you leave them to their own devices, sure, sometimes they will stick around. And there still are some place in Los Angeles that activist-friendly like that. Some of them are still open. But a lot of them aren't. And it's a lot harder to start a new one than it is to maintain the one that's already there. So... I don't think there's a ton of such spaces here in San Diego. Main ones I know about are the Rubber Rose, as I was saying. Then you got Chicano Perk over in... I can't even think of where it is from here. Kind of by downtown, I guess, sort of. I'll put a link on my site to it now that I've mentioned it. Vos Alta, the art gallery, and that's also the place where San Diego Indie Media is based out of, I think. That's also close to downtown San Diego. You get the Shea Cafe over in at UCSD on their campus. And I heard someone the other day mentioning a place called A&E. I'm not sure what that is. But, and you know, I'm not Captain Expert. I don't know everything that's around here. But those are the main places I know. And like I'm saying, you don't help out, you don't support them, you don't patronize their shops and whatnot, they might go under. And in their place, they're going to put in a fucking Taco Bell or you know, some high-priced apartments that you can't afford to live in, or some condos, or a Whole Foods, or some sort of big corporate thing which you don't want. And they're going to use that to replace the thing that you did like, and the thing that you'll be kicking yourself about, saying, man, I wish that was still here. I wish I would have done something. So, support the Rubber Rose, and Vos Alta, and Che Cafe, and Chicano Park, and other stuff. But, I actually, putting my money where my mouth is, obviously, I'll be DJing there, so I'll be helping out at that art gallery night. But honestly, I think I'm gonna talk to those folks and see if I can't help them out with their website. I'm not a real tech whiz, but I think some of their stuff just needs some, like, updating. Just like, you know, hey, here's our store hours. I could do some shit like that to help them out. But, yeah. And speaking of local activist things, you're listening to one, Radioactive San Diego, VRA. We're an audio collective. We have in the past been more of an internet radio station, and we still kind of are, I suppose. But we're now trying to focus more on the actual shows. We're not trying to focus as much on being a constant audio stream. You can tune into it any time, because that just doesn't seem to be what y'all want from an internet radio station. You know, so we're now a bit more about making programs. But this becomes relevant because of new laws, new rules that were passed in Washington, D.C. New federal rules that would require internet radio stations to pay royalties to the record companies who represent the musicians they play on their shows. And pretty much everybody has agreed, looking at the numbers, that if these rules stand, it will bankrupt all internet radio stations. Nobody will be able to afford to do this. And the only way you can afford it, and this is, this would really be, you'd have to find music where the people gave it to you. They said, here, you can play this without paying a royalty. If you didn't have that, you could play zero music that would not cost you money. But I am seeing here, and if you ever want news about internet radio, you want to go to kurthanson.com, KURTHANSON.com. He does the radio and internet newsletter he calls RAIN. He's also got another site up about internet radio called SaveTheStreams.org. But it seems like there's a little bit of a backlash going on in these new rules. A key Democrat in the U.S. House of Representatives on Wednesday slammed new federal rules that would require many internet radio stations to pay higher fees to record companies. Representative Edward Markey, Democrat, Massachusetts, had harsh words for a ruling released Tuesday by the U.S. Copyright Royalty Board. This represents a body blow to many nascent internet radio broadcasters and further exacerbates the marketplace imbalance between what different industries pay. It makes little sense to me for the smallest players to pay proportionately to pay proportionately the largest royalty fee. The Copyright Royalty Board's decision has imperiled webcasters by widening the gap between what internet radio and satellite radio services must pay. Let's see. If the decision is not overturned, one can easily imagine web radio looking more and more homogenized. The proposed merger between XM and Sirius should be put on hold until Congress corrects the Copyright Act's bias against the Internet, thereby allowing Internet radio companies to compete more fully with satellite firms. Representative Anna Eshoo from California says she believes that Internet radio could face threats from another source. Broadband providers who have the ability and incentive to limit consumers' access to the content of their choice. She called for passage of net neutrality legislation, which failed to pass Congress last year, that would prohibit such a practice. So, earlier in the week we had that scary news about, you know, all webcasters everywhere going out of business. And now we're seeing seeing some folks who are against that, which is good to hear. Now, okay, now here's another fun one. My understanding, okay, so where did this go? Okay, well, over at Legal Mind, Glenn Greenwald, he has an article up where he talks briefly about the wiretapping, the Bush warrantless wiretapping, eavesdropping scandal, and a lawsuit that was against it. And my understanding is that somebody tried to file a lawsuit to sue the government for illegally spying on them. And it sounds like the judges who are weighing in on this might say that they don't have the right to sue the government because they don't know if they're actually being wiretapped, and they can't find out that if they're being wiretapped because it's a matter of national security. So you're being spied on, and you can't sue them unless you know you're being spied on, but you can't find out if you're being spied on because it's national security. And it's a fun little one hand washes the other bullshit. But, yeah. But on his site also, sometimes it feels weird that I'm quoting this guy so much. But he does a lot of, you know, obviously he puts a lot of good news stuff on his site. But he's one of the few liberal-minded bloggers that I think sometimes gets behind the issues and actually talks a little bit about the underlying principles, the trends and whatnot. But he has this thing, he calls it the right-wing cult of contrived masculinity, where he talks basically about, the scandalous scandal, Ann Coulter, who is the right, as I always say, she's either a right-wing psychopath or she's Don Rickles. She's an insult comic, more or less, where she... she'll insult liberals and Democrats, and in very over-the-top ways, which drives the Democrats and liberals nuts, and makes many conservatives applaud and grin and chuckle. For example, and then, but yeah, just recently she spoke at the Conservative Political Action Conference, which is one of the bigger deals in conservative movements that happen every year. And she basically said that she basically called Democratic potential candidate John Edwards. She more or less called him a faggot. She said she tried to couch it differently. She basically said something like, "I would have said this. I would have said made some comments about John Edwards, but if you call someone a faggot, you have to go into rehab." That was her. That was her knee slapper of a joke, and gay activists have been very angry and have been trying to get her newspaper column pulled and have succeeded in a few places. They've tried, and even some conservative bloggers, I'm pleased to see, are calling for this conservative political action conference to never have her back again as a speaker. There are some conservatives who are rational people. You know, the ones that we see in the press, the ones that get their own syndicated radio shows and all, are fucking assholes and nut jobs, but some people out there who honestly just believe very differently from you and me, but their values are very different. And, like I'm saying, not a ton of them. Greenwald basically says that she wasn't literally trying to say, "Jonathan Edwards is gay." She was doing what she's always doing, which is mocking. It's weird. You mock the men and the political leaders as weak. And one of the ways of doing that is to mock them as feminine or gay. And then you try to somehow argue that the women are too manly. Women are too masculine. You'll hear all that all the time about Hillary Clinton. She's too in charge. She has an agenda. She's forceful and whatever. I think it's gibberish, but yes, but basically he's arguing that it's part of this conservative authoritarianism, which is of which the Republican movement has been in thrall for a bunch of years now. Probably got its start back under Reagan, I'd guess, you know, because that was sort of his pitch. You know, we'll make America strong again. And I think there's an awful lot of folks who are scared. The world's changing in ways they don't understand. And, you know, maybe they were raised in, you know, a pretty small, insular, you know, working class or middle class, usually very, you know, often very white city, family, neighborhood, region. And suddenly, you know, with increased technology and migration patterns and the economy, suddenly, you know, jobs are coming and going, and people of other races and nationalities and languages are coming in. There's a change in norms, and it freaks the hell out of them. And of course, there's some economic issues that are legitimate. You know, your job's getting sent to another country, or things like that. And I think just a lot of these folks, you know, feel very scared. And then a politician comes along that acts tough, strong. I understand. Things are simple. And I'll tell you that they're simple. I'll tell you that you're right and your concerns are right. And you can join me and vote for me. And the people, there's the other people out there, my political opponents, they don't want you to feel strong. They want you to feel weak and confused. But we'll fight them. And, I'm strong, we're strong, but they're gay and weak and manly if they're women. And it's interesting. It's part of this weird-ass, gendered, you know, power structure and beliefs and stereotypes in this country and how they kind of play into other aspects of the society. And it's fucked up and wrong and bad. I will take a stand. No, I'm kidding. No, you knew that. But I think that's all I'm going to say today. Did I talk about Scooter Libby? I talked about Scooter Libby. One other thing that I could talk about, but I'm running out of time. I'll play a couple more songs and I'll get out of here. But thanks for listening, and you'll hear more from me next week. Support your local, cool, activist-friendly spaces. I'll write a good rant about this on my site soon. You can send it to all your friends, and maybe we'll just start collecting a list of cool spaces around the country that we would encourage others to check out. Anyhow, this next song's going to be by a band called The Young and the Restless. It's just Young and Restless. A song called Satan. And again, in the background we got John Coltrane, because our computer is still damaged. Although, I think it's on the mend. Here's the music.
Can you feel it? The stench on you. They came out of the way. a bang a lango.
Shit.
You ready?
Yeah.
Well, I'm dropping bars like a beach freestyle. Dropping bras. My voice is hard. I love you. They kept my voice locked in a jar for years. Now I'm here. I know you love the way I appear. Like cha-ching. I'll come to bring the vibe that's been hiding. I've been lodging. And I know it's down. I beg your pardon. I beg your ladies. One rumble your garden. And the bass harden. Tell the harmon. Get the way this looks embalming. I wanna go on silly like the Bahamian. The drama continues now like sexual intercourse. The religion in you.
Yes, we're at the end of another Lying Media Bastard show. That is there with Sleater Kenny doing I'm Not Waiting, for that Lady Sovereign doing Fiddle with the Volume, and Young and Restless doing Satan. For more news and blah and blah and blah, go to my website, lyingmediabastards.com, and hopefully I'll be writing more stuff on there in the near future. I'm in more of a writing mode lately. So hopefully see you all next week. Take care.